Greetings once more from the island of Catalina. I have in my hand a little twig which was apparently torn off of a bush or a tree, and it was mailed to me by a four-year-old girl. There's a little sheet of paper pinned to the top of it on which she has scribbled a message. And it says, God loves me. As we look upon the world today, there are millions who could benefit if they knew this truth that a four-year-old child knows. God loves me. Whether that child brought this knowledge from a previous incarnation or has an innate awareness of the presence, time will tell. But I would like to be sure that this child and others everywhere grow up with the knowledge that the love of God is not a phrase, not an abstraction, but an ever-present force. I'm quite sure this particular child knows this instinctively. When you are living in the timeless now, out of body, drawing hidden manna from above, you are really in the one infinite body, in the finished universe, glorifying the spiritual presence. And in that great moment of truth, you are no longer under the false illusion that you are a dying mortal. You literally are living in heaven in a body that can never perish. And this is the always truth. This is the love of God expressing. There was a revelation made upon this earth that even today in the late part of the 20th century is still unknown by mankind, the religions of the world, and all the sciences of this world. It is a revelation I would like to share with you. One that you can learn to put into daily practice in your life. The body of Jesus Christ was not made of atoms. The body of Jesus Christ was a revelation that there are two bodies. One atomic, one non-atomic. It was a revelation that atomic bodies are sense images, thought images, or you might use the phrase sense thought images. It was a revelation that there is one infinite body which is non-atomic. And this is an unchanging truth. When it is understood, when it is applied, it will revolutionize all of science and all of religion. It will make clear once more upon this earth why the Master said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now you know that Paul caught this great truth. The first man is of the earth, said Paul, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. And there Paul too was revealing that the first man of the earth is the man of Adams, and the second man, who is the Lord from heaven, is the non-atomic man. The world was looking at Jesus Christ, the non-atomic man, the prototype of all who walk the earth. I think we can look at John 1 and find a statement about this in the 12th and 13th verse. As many as received him, as many as received Christ, as many as accepted Christ's identity, as many as accepted the Christ infinite body as their body, all right? As many as received him, to them gave he powers to become the sons of God. And the sons of God now must be seen to be non-atomic man in a non-atomic infinite body. Even to them that believe on his name, Christ infinite is the name that we accept, and that name means the identity that we accept. And translated, this verse would then read, but as many as believed that they were not dying mortals in Adam bodies, but were permanent being in a non-atomic infinite body, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to be Christ incarnate, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. To be born then of God is to actually live and walk and have your being in your non-atomic infinite body. Since the last two or three tapes went out, and probably since the Catalina experience, there have been some truly fantastic experiences in the lives of some of the students. I don't have enough fingers to count the numbers of experiences that have been reported to me. And some of them are definitely inner initiations. All of them show outer fruitage, but the thing that is most predominant about them, and I'd like you now to think of your highest experiences during the last 3 or 4 months, you will realize, if you do, that you are experiencing the non-atomic universe. That's where it's happening. That's the land of cause. In the non-atom, not in the atomic world. When you are in your highest experience, you are freed from sense activity. You are no longer a captive to the world mind. You are no longer drifting among the atoms in time. You are lifted to the above waters, to the non-atomic reality that stands here as the invisible substance of the divine universe. You are walking in it. You are touching that substance. which is truly the hidden manna of heaven. And it is that substance that you touch again and again and again to attain the fullness of being, which is called a new birth. There's been much out of fruitage, yes. But no matter how miraculous the outer world changes to lift you into a closer awareness of the presence of heaven, you must remember that your outer changes only as you change within. And so if yesterday, for example, you were lifted into another realm, if your inner experience revealed to you something different than the normal outer phenomena of nature, if you walked in the light, if you participated in a great, deep, inner, uplifting experience, remember, that is not the end of it. That is just the realm of cause. It will now flow forth into time, and it will appear as a need fulfilled. Just as if today a need is fulfilled in your life, be sure that is the result of a meditation or a series of meditations you have had in the past. Because always, when you touch the realm of light, when you touch the non-atomic universe that is ever present, you are putting on the garment of truth, the garment that you will wear when you leave this earth. And while you are here appearing in the garment of flesh, that garment of light that you touch in the invisible will silently flow forth into the visible and manifest as today's miracle, today's new manifestation, today's fruitage. Don't look for it at the moment when you touch the light. Remember, it will grow inside and then appear. In John 3:13, I want you now to see one of the most beautiful statements ever uttered on the face of the earth. Something that has puzzled many and has been overlooked by many more. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, and the Son of Man, which is heaven. I'm going to read that again. There's one word that I misread. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now dwell with that for a moment. You cannot return to heaven unless you came down from heaven. And yet, the very nature of the Bible is to tell you that you must return to heaven. And so you are being also told simultaneously that you came down from heaven. You are to ascend to that place from which you descended. Hold that for a moment. And let's look at Proverbs in the 30th verse in the 30th chapter. Chapter 30, verse 4, Proverbs, touches upon this subject again. Who hath ascended up into heaven, or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Or what is his name? Is not his name you? Is that not his name, the very I of you? Is that not the one they are speaking of? And did you really descend? Or is this a revelation that you are now that I, which never has descended? Is this not Spirit's way of telling you that you are that I? That your senses have made you believe that you have descended, or that you are a dying mortal? Is this not the way of telling you to stand ye in the secret place of the Most High? If you find that I, that Christ, that center, that infinite body, is that not the only ascent that is necessary? Remember this line? Verily, verily, I say unto you, I, Christ, in the midst of you, say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That Son of Man is the I, Christ, standing where you are. That Son of Man is the infinite body of Christ, the infinite mind of Christ, the infinite mind and body of you now. And when you stand in that secret place, knowing it, you will see heaven. And the angels of God will be ascending and descending, because I and the Father will be one, realized. This leads you to the greatest shattering truth of your life. The revelation behind this revelation. And please, make this your number one effort for the entire month to follow. You already are the image and likeness of God. You already are the image and likeness of God. That should not surprise you. You were made in the image and likeness of God. How could you change? What power on earth could change the image and likeness of God? Do you see how far we have strayed from our own identity? How far we have accepted the appearance world, and then how grossly we have been misled by the scientific announcement that we are made of atoms. Is God made of atoms? Is Christ made of atoms? Is the image and likeness of God made of atoms? In fact, one of the greatest teachings of Jesus Christ is that you are not made of atoms. You are now the image and likeness of God. And it is this simple truth in all its glory that is going to be the salvation of mankind. It is our individual and collective salvation. We are the non-atomic man. And this knowledge lived in, this is the pathway to life without death. We have all sought dominion, for the Bible says we were given dominion over land, sea, earth, sky, and all that is contained therein. And we say, where is that dominion? God gave that dominion only to his image and likeness, not to the atomic man. God gave that dominion to the image and likeness of God, which you are. And so you already have that dominion. You do not have to attain it. You have to know that you already are the image and likeness of God. You already have that dominion as your birthright. But you must go further. You must apply that knowledge. You must live that knowledge daily. You see, we're coming above the world of sense impressions below. We're standing in now. I'm not going to have dominion tomorrow. If I want to have it tomorrow, it will never come because I am denying that I have dominion now. And I am also denying who I am. Now catch this important knowledge about yourself. Because you are the image and likeness of God. Your entire life work is already completed. It is done. It is finished. Your mission has been accomplished. You are totally fulfilled. There is not one need that can ever be fulfilled. It is already done. If you think not, if you believe that you still have a mission that must be accomplished, or an unfulfilled life work, you are living in the bait of the senses, in the belief that you are a dying mortal, in the belief that you are atomic man or woman. The image and likeness of God is already self-complete. And whoever can hear this within, know this, will discover the power of God in his midst. I tell you that this is the key to harmony, if you will yield to it. God loves you. Celestial love is surrounding you every moment that you walk this earth. God's perfect power surrounds you. God's perfect wisdom surrounds you. All that Spirit has already is yours. The finished universe is waiting here and now to pour its abundance upon you. Hidden manner is present everywhere. The whole earth is full of his glory. But know this, his glory is non-atomic. It can never flow through a person. It can never flow through atomic man. It only flows through your non-atomic infinite body. For this is the image and likeness of God. The whole idea of rebirth sings that truth. Except a man be reborn of the non-atomic infinite body, he cannot know the kingdom of God. For thousands of years, Christ has been giving us the Lord's Prayer on earth in many ways. You know, I found the Lord's Prayer in the Old Testament too, in Chronicles. I'm sure it's in other places, but here it is in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter, verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Thine is the kingdom. Again, the revelation that there is a universe here which is made of the substance of God. It is one. And the veiled statement in that phrase that there is no other. The psalmist put it this way. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. And in the spiritual rhapsody that is called the Song of Solomon, do you remember these lines? Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. First the heart and then the arm. You'll find that in chapter 8, 6th verse of Song of Solomon. And if you will look at it carefully in your mind's eye now, you will find here the missing link to life eternal. The missing link to the end of death on earth. To the end of every cause of death on earth. These very same words are like the highway for the divine remnant, which later was spoken of by Isaiah. And this is also the magical river, the river of celestial love, the river that was spoken of by David in the 46th Psalm. Set me as a seal upon thine heart. You see, this is the bread of God, which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. This is the secret method by which God manifests his perfect kingdom through you. Set me, the infinite Christ body, as a seal upon thine heart. Try it. Do it now. In your meditation, accept. You are now the image and likeness of God. You have always been the image and likeness of God. The image and likeness of God has always been and always will be. You are that image and likeness. Accept it means set me as a seal upon thine heart. But it means so much more. Let the divine pattern be imprinted now on your soul. Let your soul receive the divine invisible rhythm. Let it permeate your being. Let this divine imprint seep into all that you are. Let it be sealed upon thine heart. And the next phrase, as a seal upon thine arm. Once it has permeated your being, as you let your soul become a bride of the divine universe, then you will see those patterns of the divine evolve through your soul into manifestation. This is the secret river of love through which the divine is made manifest. The lower waters receive the upper waters. The above flows into the below. We are lifted out of our limited sense of the universe. We learn how to let God do the work. We are trusting the ever-present source of all being. Actually, we are having faith that we are the image and likeness of God. We are having faith that we are what the Father says we are. We believe that in the image and likeness of God, all of the divine power is flowing. All divine wisdom is flowing. All of God is flowing here, now. Perfect Spirit here, now, is fulfilling itself where we stand. As we do this, much more is happening than the human mind can conceive, for we are releasing the infinite into expression. And perhaps it might be well for you to know at this point what happens beyond the level of all human awareness when we do this. Isaiah was hinting at it. Hold it a moment and listen with the eyes closed. The Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. Thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. When I saw that in Isaiah 58:11, some of the words popped out. Satisfy thy soul. Think about it. This is a purification. The hunger of the soul seeking source is satisfied. and the clouded visions of the human mind, the distorted images, the concepts, the false assumptions upon which we build our human lives, are erased. Satisfy thy soul. Purify thy soul. The thirst for eternal truth is fulfilled by a spring of water, which means there is a constantly flowing fountain from the infinite divine into your soul, living water, waters that fail not, waters that never dry. Was that what the statement of Isaiah said in its fullness? I couldn't believe that. I went to several other Bibles. In Moffat, it was said another way, somewhat similar. Evermore shall the Eternal guide you, guarding you without fail. He will refresh you in dry places and renew your strength, till you are like a watered garden, like an oasis with a steadfast spring. And then in Goodspeed, which I always find very illuminating, I found this: and the Lord shall guide you continually and shall satisfy you with rich nourishment, and your strength shall he renew, and you will be like a well-watered garden or like a spring of waters whose waters fail not. But still something was missing. I called a friend. I said, you have a Hebrew Bible, don't you? Can you translate it? And the friend came up with a word called splendor as a possibility. And I think we were getting very close then to the meaning. Because actually, a more spiritual translation would be, God will guide thy soul in resplendent places. In resplendent places. And that word resplendent, or splendored places, opens many other doorways. Because what Isaiah was telling us there is the union of your male soul and your female soul. This is the resplendent place where you are guided when your soul receives the imprint of the infinite divine. The male and female aspects of soul are united. The above and below become one. And this is your virgin birth. From the human sense of an atomic body into your infinite non-atomic body realized. It is actually a return to the wholeness of your pre-existent soul. In a sense, you might say that when you attain this mystical union of the male and female aspects of your soul through meditation, the Christ image now becomes the second father. The celestial love that pours forth imprints your soul from above, and now your soul searches through the spirit. And it learns the truth. And with the Spirit, your soul now rises to your higher soul, to the fuller realization of the nature of soul. And it clothes itself with this higher radiance. And so first we have this outer radiance of our soul, and then the new soul radiance from within. These are the resplendent places. When we live in the tabernacles of the Most High and receive blessings from above flowing into the below, would you look with me for a moment at Isaiah? I would like to look at his 49th chapter. In the 10th verse, because it seems relevant at the moment. 49:10, right through to 49:12. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. This is the mystical soul union with the divine he's speaking of. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north, and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. In the 16th verse, he says, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. This is the eternal pattern of the divine. Your image and likeness. The full, total expression of God, to which nothing can be added and nothing subtracted. And this method, turning your soul to the infinite to be imprinted with the image and likeness that is in the consciousness of God. This takes you from the first birth, the atomic birth, to the second birth, the non-atomic birth. And this is what was taught by John, who captured the full message of his teacher, Christ Jesus. And this is why John tells us this glorious phrase, except a man be born again. This birth, born of God, is the way to life without death. Takes us out of the illusion of dying mortality. It lifts us. It enables us to unfold, to let the fullness of God pour forth. It removes all universal error. That era which is mechanical and automatic and flows in the floating atoms of time is removed as we let the imprint of the divine flowing through soul manifest in the stillness of our being. And so if someone were to say to you, well, how does what you're studying differ from other teachings? If you feel disposed to answering them, you might say, in the first place, in our teaching, we depend on the authority of Christ. What Christ says, we do. We seal that upon our heart, and that imprint then we seal upon our arm, which is the arm that goes forth and does and expresses what is sealed upon our heart. Our outer actions conform with what the Christ says within. Now there are teachings that talk about the word imagination. And it's a beautiful word. It's a very valuable word. But there are two kinds of imagination. And if you have come across this type of teaching in some of your readings, undoubtedly you have been alert enough to tune out of the one kind of imagination and tune into the other. Now, the first kind of imagination, which can get you into all kinds of trouble, is the kind of imagination that wants to manipulate. You know, it wants to make things happen on this earth. And I think much of the world is hung up in some of this type of manipulation, planning, and then maybe hoping, and finally trying to, in some way through imagination, make it come true on this earth. Now, if Christ is your authority, you'll have to find that in the Bible, and I'm sure you cannot. It doesn't say if you will imagine the truth will make you free. It does say if you will know the truth. Now, knowing is a different kind of imagination. Knowing does not involve knowing truth about this world. So if you're imagining that you can have things happen in this world and then hoping and praying and pushing all your effort to getting them happen in this world, you're not knowing truth, because there's no truth to know about a world that is not of the Father. But if you want to imagine, you must take the second way of imagining. You must know what the eyes cannot see. You must know what is behind the atomic universe. You must know reality. Now, if you want to imagine that behind this visible appearing world is a universe that is divine and perfect, that use of the word imagination is closer to the meaning of it in "ye shall know the truth." And so you might say that we do not imagine anything, but we accept the perfection of God and rest in that perfection. And so we differ from the kind of teaching that would want us to manipulate. And we differ from the kind of teaching that would want us to mentalize. And we differ from the kind of teaching that is interested in sensation or phenomena or just words without power. We are learning how to live under grace, how to free ourselves from sense images, how to be free of universal error, how to be free of material thought. We are learning how to release a false sense of self, a false sense of a human body. We are overcoming the illusion of death. We are no longer seeking life in time or in atoms or in matter, but rather we are living in the cause behind the visible world and finding our permanent self. Nor are we satisfied with only the words of Christ. We are making them our living, active consciousness and building them into living, active experience. And so we have only one question. What does Christ teach? What Christ teaches, we believe. We believe that every word of God is pure, and we trust these words of God more than we trust our own eyes and our own ears. Whatever Christ teaches, no matter how demanding, we follow it with trust. We follow it with confidence. We follow it with joy. We follow it with love. We follow it with gratitude. We have found the authority of Christ put into daily action in the fullest spiritual knowledge that we have is how we differ from the teachings of the mind, or the teachings of phenomena, or the teachings of the occult, or any other teaching on this earth. I am the resurrection, said Christ. And the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. This to us is a statement that death is an illusion that cannot be accepted any longer by anyone who is in the study of the Christ message. There is no death in your non-atomic body. There are no causes of death in your non-atomic body. This Christ teaches. This we accept. We accept it for the entire world of dying mortals. There is no death. There never can be. There never will be. Whoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believe thou this? Yes, we believe this. We know this is the statement that I, the image and likeness of God, can never die. I, the image and likeness of God, am never sick. I, the image and likeness of God, can never suffer pain, disease, lack, limitation of any kind. We are not fallen angels. We are not sinners, we are not dying mortals, we are not human beings. We are not male human beings or female human beings. We are not white human beings or black human beings. I am the image and likeness of God. Thou canst have no power over me. Now inscribe this again on your heart. Truth is always truth. Untruth never changes truth. Truth is unchanging and always present. No matter how much untruth may appear, it never touches truth, never changes truth, never influences truth, because only truth is present. Untruth is never present. It is part of the world illusion. There are no dying mortals. I am the image and likeness of God, and that image is not a personal self, or a limited self, or a finite self. It is an infinite image and likeness of God. I am the infinite image and likeness. Where you see the world of dying mortals, only the infinite image and likeness of God is there. One indivisible self. Upon this rock you build your church. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. Truth is always truth without opposite. You are always the image and likeness of God without beginning or end in space or time. And that will move every mountain in this world. It is a truth you can trust. Dwell with it. Awake and asleep. In the midst of the multitudes, or in the silent sanctuary of your soul. It is a truth you can trust.